Today on In Good Faith, we're not only talking about the good that interfaith relations can do, we're actually going to take a very serious look at what happens when there are not good interfaith relationships. And I mean, it's as serious as it can get, as you'll hear. Heather Bigley, our senior producer, is in studio with me.
Hello, Steve.
As is producer Ashton Rowan.
Glad to be here, Steve.
We're about to hear from Bishop Gordon and Father Kabuk. Both are with the Catholic Church. And we had set up an interview at this great conference symposium being put on at UNLV by the Las Vegas Alliance for Religious Freedom and Human Dignity. And Bishop Gordon says, I really want to talk about these things with you, but I think we need to bring along Father Elias Kabuk, who has served in the church in Nigeria and, come to find out, has had friends, neighbors, and fellow Catholics killed by Boko Haram. So then when I heard Boko Haram, I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, we know that they're a terrorist organization. They've killed over 50,000 people, displaced more than 2.5 million since 2002 when they were first founded. Various times they've affiliated with Al-Qaeda or ISIS, although currently aren't.
This interview contains a lot of sombering stories that even made me think about my own place with my religion, and I'm certainly in the vast majority in my local area. And it really drives home the responsibility of the majority to care for, respect, think about, and consider the minority. And this is obviously extreme situations, but it can happen anywhere if the minority is forgotten.
Bishop Gregory Gordon is the first auxiliary bishop of Las Vegas, appointed by Pope Francis in 2021. He assists the Archbishop Thomas and serves as a vicar general and moderator of the Curia of the Archdiocese. He's on a special committee in the States about things going on in Africa. Father Elias Kabuk is from Kaduna State, Nigeria, ordained a Catholic priest in 2009, and for the last 15 years has been appointed to work in the Kaduna Archdiocese in Nigeria, the Helena Diocese in Montana, and the Archdiocese of Las Vegas. And I started by asking what a religious liberty conference like the one we were attending together can accomplish.
The Catholic bishops of the United States have discerned that religious liberty is a gift that is sometimes threatened, that we need to come together, find common ground, and look for various ways to support our belief in religious liberty, freedom of conscience, all of those fundamental rights. I know with Father Kabuk, you'll hear some threats that are much more personal and much more dire from Kaduna State, Nigeria, but that doesn't make the threats here in the United States any less real. I think we're all in agreement, no matter what faith tradition we belong to, that there is no greater threat to religious liberty than for one's house of worship to become a dangerous place. There are approximately 200 dioceses in the United States. In the last 2 years, 400 acts of vandalism on or near houses of worship. It's real. It's felt everywhere.
And so if that's happened at your place of worship, you wonder, how safe is it?
We have to ensure that those who come to hear the Word of God, to receive the sacraments of the Church, are coming to a safe place. This has been identified as a challenge much higher now than we've ever seen in history in the United States. But there are others that may be less concrete, but spiritually real. My hope and prayer is that a conference such as this in Las Vegas and conferences such as this around the country can really help to examine those issues. Not that the issues that are presented by the Catholic Church are the only ones. The beautiful thing about today is we'll hear other issues from other experiences, other points of view. But how can we respond in such a way as to defend religious liberty and defend the freedom of conscience?
Father Elias, I wonder if you could talk to me about some very serious threats. For instance, there are Catholics in your home country and seminarians who've been victims of violence.
Thank you very much. I appreciate this moment and for giving me the platform to tell the world what Christians are going through, especially in Nigeria in particular Kaduna State, we are going through a lot in terms of religious liberty. For example, churches are destroyed, and especially during worship. So once those churches are destroyed, human beings are destroyed as well. We have the incident that happened at St. Francis Xavier Catholic Church in Owo, in Ondo State, Nigeria. We had the Christmas bombing that took place in St. Teresa Catholic Church, Madala, Christmas Day, Niger State. In 2012, we had an incident in Kaduna which claimed so many lives in St. Rita's Catholic Church, Ongwenyero Catholic Archdiocese of Kaduna, where so many people died.
So to be clear, the official law in Nigeria protects people to worship as they wish. Is that true?
The 1999 Constitution, as amended, states that every person shall be entitled to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion, including freedom to change his religion or belief, and then freedom either alone or in community with others, and in public or in private, which means it is a God-given right for everybody to practice religion, and which the constitution of the land permits every individual. I have just given you instances. And then when I narrow it down to Kaduna, a lot of churches have been destroyed. And it's not just limited to only Catholic Church, even Protestant and Pentecostal churches.
Christians in general.
Yeah, Christians in general. Yeah.
Is there something a conference like this can do that could be helpful to Nigeria, for instance?
Very well. And that is why I began by saying thank you for this platform, because now a lot of us do not have a voice to talk. And then sometimes some of the happenings are not told and the world does not know. So that is why when we have conferences such as this, people will hear about this, people will come to know. And in fact, at this moment, this opportunity given, I see you people as the voice of the voiceless. This is a voice you are giving to not only me, but to the people of Kaduna State, because every day Christians die in their hundreds and in their thousands. But those stories are not told. And then I tell you, they no longer respect the sacredness of the human life than the sanctity of the human life. I want to narrow it to my own Catholic Church so that I can speak authoritatively. A lot of priests have been killed. A lot of priests have been kidnapped.
And these are people you know?
These are people I have worked with, people I school with, and people I have worked with, people we've been friends together. And if you would permit me, I can mention their names and
please,
you get to know.
Please.
In the year 2000, Reverend Father Cornell James Eyre, so they went, laid siege his house. They went to the rectory. He was an old man, almost closer to his retirement. He couldn't jump over the fence, and then he was cut into pieces, but he was still alive. He was taken to the hospital. He eventually died. Then the second person, that same 2000, was Reverend Father Ozibello. And Ozibello was ordained a priest in 1999, and he had just a few months after his ordination. Then he was killed. Reverend Father Alphonsus Beloyashim, who was murdered in the year 2021. We had Father Joseph Akete. Father Joseph Akete was sleeping in the middle of the night. Then the kidnappers came, took him out of the rectory to the forest, and then he stayed there for a while, and then he was killed. After him, we had Father Vitus Borogo. I took over from Father Vitus when he was the pastor of St. Augustine's Catholic Church to Dunwoda. He handed over to me. Then he came, he worked with now Archbishop Thomas in the Diocese of Helena. And then he returned to Nigeria after the four-year term. And then he took over from me again. And then Father was killed. Father Vitus was killed. And these are just priests from the Archdiocese of Kaduna. And we still have Father John Shekwelo Baku, who was abducted or kidnapped in 2019. We do not know whether he's alive, whether he's dead. There is nothing about him, but we still believe that he's under the captivity of those people. And then in the Diocese of Kafanchan, Father John Mark Chetnum was killed. And recently, we had a seminarian, they came to kill in their same Diocese of Kafanchan. We had a seminarian by name Naaman Ngofe, who had finished his apostolic work, but he decided to stay with a priest at St. Raphael's Catholic Church for a while before he goes back to school. When they came, and then the priests were nowhere to be found, and then the seminarian was burnt to ashes in the rectory. And then in the Good Shepherd Major Seminary, we had four seminarians that were kidnapped. Three were eventually released or set free, and then Michael Nadi was killed. And why was he killed? According to his friends that they were kidnapped together, said he constantly preached that the terrorists should repent. And that was what led to his own death.
Well, it's very chilling for me to just look across the table and see that long numbered list where you've got the names and the numbers there.
This is just the Catholic bloc. Mm. We're not even talking about the Protestants and the Pentecostals. Yeah.
So sometimes we're talking, as we were with you, Bishop Gordon, about changing laws or making laws. And then other times, for instance, in Nigeria, according to the law, people can worship. They are free to worship.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about this for just a moment, Bishop Gordon, because you're on the subcommittee for the church in Africa. You're in touch with these priests, so you know about this. And that, of course, it's alarming. Are you at a point where you can see what can be done? I mean, one thought would be, well, let's withdraw the priests, but you can't really do that because they're serving people.
Stephen, we're blessed in the Archdiocese of Las Vegas to have Father Elias Kabuk and many Nigerian priests. The church in Nigeria is experiencing, in comparison to the United States, a surge in religious vocations. Mm. And Father Elias's testimony and those of the other priests with whom I've spoken, it affects me the same way as it does you and your listeners when you hear that list of names read and what's happened. I think if we do not say something when vandalism happens in a church in the United States, if we just remain silent or ignore, then some of the things that Father Elias recounted for us, the destruction of churches, the burning down of churches, the killing of the faithful and their priests will progress. The same thing with issues regarding conscience. If we don't come together and stand up and defend these freedoms that we have to, Father Elias, as you expressed the way the Nigerian Constitution expressed it, freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion.
Yeah.
Then little by little, those freedoms and Bill of Rights can be whittled away at. That's what Father's testimony says to me and to those who are, yes, part of the committee on the church in Africa. Is there anything we can do, the church in the United States, to support movements to help rectify these sad situations?
You're listening to In Good Faith. We'll be back with more in a moment. Hi, I'm Stephen Cap Perry, host of In Good Faith. Nothing captivates me more than people setting out on an adventure, especially if it's a place I wish I could go to or a subject I wish I knew more about, but I don't live in the right place or I don't have the equipment or the expertise. I'm telling you about a podcast from our BYU Radio family of podcasts, an award-winning podcast called Constant Wonder. With host Marcus Smith, you'll be expanding your horizons on all kinds of discovery. It could be science, it could be art, history, and more. Do you need that feeling of awe and wonder in your life more? I do, and I love it when I see how to experience that by hearing the stories of people who are doing and exploring all of those things that are so interesting to me. Check out the podcast, Constant Wonder. Welcome back to In Good Faith. I'm discussing challenges to religious liberty with Bishop Gordon and Father Elias, Catholic clergy, currently based in Clark County, Nevada.
Father Elias, it would be natural for members of Christian congregations in Nigeria to say, where is God? We're praying for safety, we're praying for help, and yet we see this happening. That's a difficult thing, I think, for believers when lives are on the line and they have to express faith. What do you think about that?
Truly speaking, I have to tell you, the more the persecutors, the stronger we become in faith. Churches, even after the destruction, you still find people going to church. Mm. And churches are still growing and growing faster. And then the faith is still waxing stronger. We are not afraid. We are not ashamed to preach the crucified Christ. Because he tells us, do not be afraid. I am with you until the end of age.
I wonder if I could ask you personally just for a minute. We read that you had first felt called to serve when you were quite young. And I wonder if you'd tell me about the faith you were raised in and about that experience.
Both parents are still alive. Stephen is my father. Victoria is my mom. Both are faithful and strong Catholics. Right from childhood, parents taught us how to pray. They were not praying alone. They prayed with and for us as their children. And that was how we became so strong in the faith. And they never left us alone. Anytime they were going to church, they took us to church. And I remember when we began reading, all of us, the kids, my father, the first gift he would give you was a copy of the Bible. So that encouraged us. And every day we prayed the rosary. But later, when I got to the minor seminary, I discovered that at some point, my parents would wake up at 3 a.m. What were they doing at 3 a.m.? We kept wondering. They were saying the Divine Mercy prayer at 3 a.m. So that inspired me. I joined them. Till death, I still say my Divine Mercy prayer at 3 a.m. And they still say it up to date. So with those spiritual activities, I got excited. And then one day, I taught myself the truth. Am I not called to be at the sanctuary to serve God as a Catholic priest?
Had you thought about it before that day?
No, it was while I was almost completing my education during my high school, which was a minor seminary, then I thought of it. Sometimes you go to the seminary, you might not end up becoming a priest. You might go and become a priest. But I thank God I went and I became one. But I actually thank my parents for that foundation laid. If they were parents who never cared about the spiritual well-being of their kids or their children, probably I wouldn't have gone to the extent that I have gone today. But I had a couple of friends too who inspired me as well. I saw them as role models, especially Reverend Father Stephen Atawal from the Catholic Archdiocese of Jos, Nigeria. Yes, who insisted that I should go to the minor seminary. Yeah, he was the pastor in our parish then. So he encouraged my parents to take me to the minor seminary.
You're working here in a pastoral function in the U.S. Do you see a big difference in the believers in the two countries?
Let me just simply say this first. It's the same work. Even if I were in Nigeria, I would still be doing, first and foremost, the pastoral and the spiritual work I have to do as a Catholic priest. But these are two different continents. And each continent or each country has problems that are peculiar to their countries or to their situations. So while the challenges in Nigeria may be quite different from the challenges here in the United States, Christians who reside in places that Muslims are dominating, mm-hmm. they find it difficult to get admission into the universities.
Because of their faith.
Because of their faith. And we had instances where Christians in the university in Dusenma, in Katsina State, were denied from carrying out any public Christian function within the campus. In Congo, campus of the Ahmadu Bello University, Zaria, Nigeria, they stopped the Catholic Church from erecting their chapel, which was burned some years ago. In the state-owned university, Kaduna State University, along Tafawa Balewa Way, opposite the chancery, Archbishop's House, presently, a piece of land was given to Christians to build their chapel, but the management has vehemently refused to allow them to build that chapel.
It's good for us to know that it's happening.
Yes.
In difficult times, people will turn to prayer. People turn to scripture. I'm wondering, in the middle of all of this, if currently, if you, Bishop Gordon, and you, Father Elias, is there a parable? Is there a scripture? Is there a teaching that your mind is holding on to right now?
Yes. Father has spoken about a church undergoing persecution. It also, I would call it a church of martyrs. Mm. Those who, in imitation of Christ, die for the faith, their faith in Christ. The Gospel of John says so beautifully, no greater love has a man than that he lay down his life for his friends. That's what I hear happening over and over again in Nigeria and in other parts of the world. And there's also the knowledge that where the blood of martyrs is spilled, that's the seed of Christians and the seed of the church, and the church there will grow. As Father was saying, the challenge, however, is that those heroic lives need to be known. And this is a beautiful gift that you're helping to make known, this witness that does bring about spiritual renewal and spiritual life.
Thank you very much. Father Elias.
I would like to say we are not ashamed and we are not afraid to preach the crucified and the resurrectional Christ. We are determined. We are resilient. As the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, verse 27 says, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And then Matthew Gospel chapter 28, verse 20 says, that I am with you always until the end of time. So Christ is with us. And that is why we are always cheerful. And we are not afraid. We are not intimidated. We shall continue to preach and to propagate Christianity. And that seat of faith that has been handed over to us will be protected, will be kept intact for the generation that is yet to be born. That same faith we receive from our foreparents will hand over that faith to the generation yet unborn. We are not afraid. God is our strength.
So you've just heard Steve speaking with Father Elias and Bishop Gordon at the Las Vegas Alliance for Religious Freedom and Human Dignity, held in April.
Really interesting to me how sometimes persecution can deepen faith. And that's what I hear from Father Elias, that this isn't a thing that's chasing him or the other Catholics in Nigeria away from their faith, as difficult as it is. And one thing that seems so paramount to me, if I am part of a majority religion, it's actually my responsibility to look out for the religious rights of the minority. But usually, we just ignore them because we're fine. We fit in just great if we're in the majority.
Yeah. Sometimes when I've heard these horrible stories about what's happening in Nigeria from American Christians, they want to tie immediately as if this is their experience. And I think one of the things we have to be careful about is because we as Christians are the majority in the U.S., we need to be thinking about how we care for those who do not have the same access to the majority culture, to the legal power that we might have.
And as simple a thing as, do we make sure that people in minority religions in the U.S. can get to their place of worship on a Friday or a Saturday, what their holy day is? We just take for granted that we've got our Sunday included in our weekend.
Yeah.
But it's not the same all over the world.
Yeah, this actually made me think of the Eid episode that we did during Eid this year with two Muslim students here at BYU. And they talked about both their experience being Muslim here in Utah, and they also talked about Muslims who are oppressed around the world. And it's really interesting to think about how it's different traditions wherever you go. You know, the Christians in Nigeria or Muslims here and other places, Jews in many places. And I think there's much inspiration in this, though, from Father Kabuk's story and from our Arab students' stories here about how even amidst so much oppression in different parts of the world, in different scenarios, the one thing that can't be touched and can't be attacked is faith. And Father Kabuk displays that beautifully. That was an inspiration to me and can be an inspiration to anybody.
Yeah, when Bishop Gordon says basically that the blood of the martyrs is the seed for the church, one, I was struck by the historicity of that statement. Here is an organization that is 2,000 years old looking backward. They have saints and martyrs throughout their history, and those places where those martyrs have been killed, there are now cathedrals. There are now, you know, huge organizations of Catholics. But the other thing I thought about is just that sort of noble spirit of the people who are left behind, and just the noble spirit of Father Elias. I am not afraid. I am not ashamed to preach the crucifixion of Christ. And I was really touched listening to him say that.
When Father Gordon talks about the increase in vandalism in 200 dioceses, 400 acts of vandalism, just how that's increasing, that's just Catholic places of worship. That doesn't even count any mosques, any synagogues, any temples, any other types of places of worship. Again, useful for all of us to reach out, to even attend religious services, go to a mosque, go to a synagogue, and politely ask, can I worship with you? Where can I sit? What's appropriate for me to do? They will be happy and perhaps shocked that you're even interested. We can learn from each other in ways that will prevent what's happening in some places in the world from happening here, because it can. We tell ourselves, oh no, we have religious freedom, but so does Nigeria, right, officially. But it's gotten to a point with a terrorist organization that's irrelevant to the treatment of people.
And this is not to take away from what is happening to the Catholics in Nigeria, but one of the things we did hear at this conference was that ISIS and Al-Qaeda actually have killed more Muslims than they have killed Christians or any other religious group. And this is because there's this thought that all the Muslims should behave just the same way and think the same way and have the same rituals as Al-Qaeda and ISIS. And when those Muslims say, no, I do not agree with you, those are the people who are actually being killed first. So again, not to take anything away from what's happening to the Catholics, but we should realize that these terrorist groups do not represent Muslims and are in fact killing Muslims.
Many thanks to our guests today, Bishop Gregory Gordon and Father Elias Kabuk, for speaking with us. And special thanks to Allison Egbert for her work with the Las Vegas Alliance for Religious Freedom and Human Dignity and helping us connect with Bishop Gordon and Father Elias. This episode was produced by Heather Bigley. Our production team also includes Leah King, Katarina Martinich, Josh Orton, and Ashton Rowan. Our post-production sound designers are Mark Hansen, Brandon Lewis, Daniel Phillips, and Carly Wilson. In Good Faith is committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. If interfaith understanding is important to you, be sure you leave a positive comment or review where you get your podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Find us on Twitter at InGoodFaithPod, on Instagram and Facebook at InGoodFaithPodcast. Find us on YouTube at youtube.com/@in-good-faith. In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry. I hope you'll join me again soon, right here, In Good Faith.